Let me invite you to open to the fifth chapter of Luke. If you have your Bible, take it and open it to Luke chapter 5. I want to echo what Sydney was praying today, that it's not just about students today going to wherever they're going tomorrow and being an ambassador for Christ and being somebody that God uses profoundly and deeply and eternally wherever it is that you may be. Some of you are going back to school. Some of you are going back to work. Some of you are going back to your jobs, whatever it may be. And I believe that the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for a couple of people who come up on the platform and either lead in worship or pray or teach the scripture. I believe that if you are in Christ today, God wants to use you this coming week in the kingdom of God. I believe that with my whole heart. And because of that, I want to help you to do that. So the students, I want to help you go back to school. For the adults, I want to help you go back to work or go wherever it is that you're going to be going this coming week, because I want to share with you a message about giving bad advice with good intentions. Now, I don't know if you have ever realized when you are giving bad advice with good intentions. And I don't know if you realize when you get bad advice with good intentions. But I hope by the time we pray and close our time today, you will be an expert in understanding whether or not something is good advice and how to give good advice. Here's why this is so important. Students, you came down here, you said, "Yes, Lord. God, I want you to use me this school year. I want to be your missionary." Here's where it starts. There's going to be somebody to come to you and say, "Hey, you're a Christian, right?" And you're going to be like, "Yeah." They're going to say, "Well, I got this problem in my life. What should I do?" And they're going to look to you for advice. Now, if you're not a student, if you're an adult, you're going to be at school. You're going to be at work, or you're going to be on your block, and somebody's going to come knock on your door, and they're going to say, "Hey, you're a Christian, right? Because I see you leave every Sunday morning," and you're going to go, "Yeah." And they're going to say, "Well, I've got this problem in my life, and I need for you to tell me what it is that I should do, because I know that you're a Christian and I want godly advice." So we're all going to be put into this situation one day where we have to make sure that we're giving good advice. It's not just enough to mean well while we're giving advice. And what we don't want to do is to give bad advice with good intentions. However, we all have done it. And so I just want to help you to breathe a little bit easy. I've given bad advice. The people sitting around you have given bad advice with good intentions. Listen, at some point, we all have given bad advice with good intentions. I want to prove that to you with a couple of places in Scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. There's this prophet in the Old Testament. His name was Nathan. And Nathan had this pretty important position. He was like a prophet to the king. So he had access to the king. And one day, the king in 2 Samuel chapter 7 says, the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his surrounding enemies. Here's what that means. The king was just like lounging. He had whipped everybody. He had built this awesome place to live. And he was just relaxing. He was just channel surfing because he was resting from all of the war. And so the king said to Nathan the prophet, this is what he said, "Look, I dwell in a house of cedar," which was the nicest stuff back then, all right? "I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God lives in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." So David is saying to the prophet Nathan, he's saying, "Look, I have this thing that I want to go do. I want to build this awesome house for God." I mean, that's good intentions, right? Isn't that from a motive of good intentions? Here's this king. He could make it all about himself. Sometimes he did. But this time he said, "I want to build this awesome house for God." What do you think, Nathan? Now, Nathan's a prophet. He's supposed to be close to God. He's supposed to give and deliver awesome advice at the drop of a hat. Well, Nathan messes up. And he says, "Hey, King David, you're the man. Go do whatever it is in your heart." And it says that night the word of God came to Nathan, "No, David is not to build me a house. That's not what I want to happen." Now, you may think that's not a big deal, but you've never woke up from your dreams at night going, "I just gave bad advice to a king." I mean, can you imagine waking up? It's bad enough to give bad advice to your little brother, your little sister. But can you imagine if a king of a country called you on your phone or texted you and said, hey, what do you think I should do about this? And boom, you just jump off and give some advice. And then God shows you in your dreams at night that you gave bad advice to a king. Let that sink in for a second. There's another group of people in the book of Job. These names are so hard to pronounce, so I'm sorry if I butcher them. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. That was their names. And they were friends with Job. They loved Job. But if you don't know the story of Job, Job went through a hard time. I mean, he had everything and he lost it all. He lost his family. He lost all of his riches. I mean, he lost even his health. The scripture says that all of this was taken from him. And he was a wretched man. And the scripture says about these three friends that they cared about Job and they wanted to show sympathy and they wanted to offer comfort and they actually wept for Job and they actually tore their clothes and sprinkled dust on their heads. And you may think that's weird. Well, that was just like an Old Testament symbol for I'm grieving with you, okay? So when you tore your clothes and you sprinkled dust on your head, that was a symbol saying, man, I'm weeping with you and I'm grieving with you. And so they wept and they tore their robes and they sprinkled dust on their head. And they sat with him silent for 7 days. But the scripture says that they go on. And if you go and read this story from Job chapter 4 to Job chapter 25, they gave bad advice after bad advice after bad advice. So I'm just trying to make the point that we all have found ourselves in that place in life where we're given bad advice. And what I want to do today is to teach us how to give some good advice. And in a second, we're going to look in Luke chapter 5. So if you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn there. But before I point out the good advice, what I want to do is to point out the bad advice. I want to share with you this morning three common phrases that we give as advice, but it's actually damaging. And so this is kind of like the ouch moment in the message where I say, here's some things that we're doing in our society, even as Christians. These are some things that we're saying to our kids. These are some things that we're saying to our coworkers. These are some things that sound good, but if you apply them and you take them to their logical conclusion, they're more damaging than hurtful. I want to share with you these three things, and then we'll turn and we'll look at Luke chapter 5 and learn some good advice. The first piece of advice that is destructive is this. Don't let anyone tell you who to be. Don't let anyone tell you who you should be. Listen to me. If you apply that principle, you will get fired. True story. If you go to your job and you tell the president of your company or the vice president or even just your manager, I am who I am and you're not going to tell me who to be, that'd be the last time you ever say that to them in the bad way. But more importantly than that, if you take that piece of advice and you apply it to your life, it'll land you right into the middle of hell. Because we cannot say to God, God, you will not tell me who to be. He is our creator, and our life is to be shaped and to be formed by the master creator himself, Lord God Almighty. So the first piece of bad advice that we give sometimes is don't let anybody tell you who to be. The second is follow your heart. Now, I'm not saying that you say these things to people with bad intentions. I'm not saying that you say these things in order to hurt somebody or to ruin their life. What I'm saying is this is bad advice that we often offer with good intentions. We say this to people that we love. We want to encourage them. We want to build them up. And so we say, hey, baby, you don't let anybody tell you who you are going to be. Or we say, you know what? I don't know what you should do, but just follow your heart. And you may be sitting next to somebody right now that you've said that to over and over and over. Listen, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm trying to help you this morning. And if you'll go back and look in the scripture, did you see what Nathan did when he said to David? He said, David, go do whatever it is that your heart wants to do. And he found out that night that that was bad advice. Here's why it's bad advice. It's bad advice because our heart is influenced by so many things and even some things that would destroy us. It's bad advice because our heart often changes its mind over and over and over again. It's bad advice because the biblical mandate from Scripture to us is not to follow our hearts, but to follow Jesus. You see, when he found his disciples, some of them were fishing, some of them, they were doing all kinds of stuff. These were just regular people. And when he found these disciples, he didn't say to them, look, go follow your heart. He looked at them dead in their eyeballs and he says, follow me. And so I want you to understand that while you may do this with honest intentions, with love in your heart, and a desire to see somebody flourish, that's bad advice to tell them to follow their heart. It's bad advice to say, don't let anybody tell you who to be. And it's bad advice to say to somebody, do what seems right to you. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It doesn't say do what seems right to you. It says trust in God with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You see, so when we tell people do what seems right to you, what we're telling them is to lean on your own understanding. It's to think that your understanding is by far superior to everybody else's. And again, we say this with innocent intentions, but it is against the scriptural teaching. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Listen to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. And so again, if we're telling people, do what seems right to you, it's out of an innocent intention. But Proverbs says there's a way that seems right, and if you follow it, it'll take you right to death. There's a place in the Old Testament, one of the darkest moments in the life of God's people. And there's a phrase that is used. It's in the book of Judges. You go back and study Judges if you want. That's not where we're at today. But Judges says in a couple of different places, it says that they did what was right in their own eyes, contrasting with doing what is right in the eyes of God. You see, God's people are to look to the Lord. And it's not that we're supposed to intentionally do what's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But the advice that we need to offer to the world is not do what seems right to you. It is do what the Lord has called for us to do. Now, I'm the type of guy that I would rather see you do something than to tell it to me. Like, I'm a visual learner. So you can tell me how to change my tire, or you can do it for me and let me watch you. I'm just making sure you're still with me. But I am a visual learner. I like to watch somebody. So today when I was thinking, well, what do we talk about? What is good advice? I thought, let's just stop and let's just let Peter in Luke chapter 5 model for us what is good advice. So that's what we're going to do in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by a lake and he saw two boats out by the lake. And the fishermen have jumped out of them. They were cleaning their nets. The day was over for them. And so Jesus got into one of them, which was Simon's, and he asked him to push out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Very common for Jesus to do this. This is nothing out of the ordinary. Jesus would do this on a number of occasions. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night. We've worked hard all night. We've labored all night, in other words. And we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And so when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled the boat so that they began to sink. Now that's quite a catch. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Some of your translations will say, "From now on, you will be fishers of men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they had left everything and followed Jesus. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to lay out for you what Peter models for us so that we can learn it and we can take it to the world and we can be prepared, right? We can be ready, whether it's at school for students or at work for adults or at home for adults or wherever it may be. When somebody looks to us, we are ready to give them biblical advice, not bad advice, with good intentions. The first thing that we see happen in the life of Peter is that he trusted the instructions of the Lord. If you look in verse 5, you will see that his experience said one thing. His history said one thing. What he thought was going to happen was one thing. But yet, in spite of all of those things, he trusted the instructions of the Lord. And I don't know how many people I'm speaking to this morning that says, "My experience says I'm doomed. My history says I'm doomed. I feel like I'm doomed." And all you need to do is to hear a word from God. You need to hear the instructions of God, and you need to trust that. And when you can't see what's going to happen next, trust what the Lord is saying to you through Scripture. You see, Simon Peter could have said, "Jesus, are you crazy? I've been fishing that fishing hole all night long, and I've caught nothing. And it is not logical or rational for you to tell me to go back out there and waste my time doing that." That's not what he said. But some of you are treating the Lord like that. Some of you are treating Scripture like that. You are letting your history and your experience be so powerful in your life that you're calling God a liar on accident. And all you have to do this morning is say, "Look, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust the instruction of the Lord." Students, that is some of the best advice that you could give your friends at school this year. Adults, same thing. Somebody's going to wander into your cubicle with a problem. You don't have to be Socrates for them. You don't have to be a famous philosopher for them. All you have to do is say, "Trust the instructions of the Lord," and see what God does with it. Now, the second thing that we see about his life is that he understood his identity before the Lord. And what's interesting about the Scripture is that it really challenges how we view ourselves. And I want to explain what I mean by that, but I want you to look what happens in the Scripture. Look with me in verse 8, because what we see in verse 8 is Peter understanding who he is in the sight of Jesus. And so in verse 8, it says that Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, and he began to say, "Go away from me, Lord. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Do you know what was happening in that moment? While everybody else was just sitting around going, "Hey, can I get one of those fish?" Or, "Hey, Jesus, can you come back and do this tomorrow?" Or, "Hey, Jesus, I've got a hangnail. Do you think that you can heal that?" Man, all of this stuff is going on, and everybody's standing around going, "Whoa, did you see what just happened? We didn't know that many fish were in this lake." But instead of being caught up in all of that, Peter was understanding who he was to Jesus. And the Scripture says that he comes and he falls down at his knees. And he acknowledged that Jesus was holy and he was sinful. And some of you need to get to that place today. Some of you need to realize today that you may be better than the person sitting next to you. And you may be looking out at this whole place and you may say, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person. Well, look at that person on the other side of the terrace. I saw them at the club last weekend." And you may be comparing yourself to other people in here. That'll get you nowhere. What you need to do is you need to see yourself in light of who God is, and you need to understand that there comes a point, either now or when you die, that you will kneel before the King and say, "Oh Lord, I am a sinful man." And you need to be there. Now, the other part of that is that some of you need to get off of that place. Because one of the most glorious parts about this scripture is what Jesus does immediately after Peter says this. Now, this is one of the saddest rejection moments of all time. Now, look, I don't know your life, and I don't know the people who you've asked out on dates and got rejected. I mean, I understand that we've had some rejection moments in our life. But I'm telling you right now that if you go back and look at this, here's what you find. You see Jesus do an incredible miracle that feeds the whole town for weeks. And here's this one man, and instead of saying, "High five, Jesus, way to go," he says, "Jesus, leave." He rejects him. He says, "I want you to go." Why? Because he was overwhelmed with his holiness. And he was overwhelmed with his understanding that no matter if anybody understood it, he had a dark heart. He knew that he was sinful. And the most glorious thing about this whole story is this third point: experience life-altering grace and mercy. Man, if some of you could get here today, it'd set you free. Now, you have gotten to the place where you understand that you're sinful. You have gotten to the place where you understand that you've done things against the will of God. You say, "Zach, you don't have to hammer that point. I understand it." And what I'm praying for you today is that you can hear the voice of God when you admit that you're a sinner. Do not be afraid. I have a plan for your life. And if you could just come to the point today where you would say yes to that, you can walk out of here a different person. A radically different person. And so how does this turn into advice? How does this turn into ministry where you're at, whether it's school or whether it's at home or whether it's at work? Once a person understands that they're not right with God, that they commit sin, that they've rebelled against God, we want to help them to understand that there's grace and mercy to be found. And Peter experiences that. Look with me, if you would, in verse 10. I want you to look at what Jesus does. Now, Peter says, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." That's in verse 8. And so you've got James and John. They're all there watching this. And I want you, just look at the next thing that Jesus says to Peter. "Don't be afraid. I've got a job for you, Peter. I've got something for you to do, Simon Peter. You may be overwhelmed with who you are when it's compared to me, but listen to me. I have a work for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a hope for you. I have an agenda for you. I have something that you can fill your life with, and for the rest of your life, you will have purpose." That's a good spot to be. If you've never been in that place, I want to ask you, I want to plead with you to say yes to the grace and mercy of Jesus. You may not know how. You may be here today saying, "I don't know how to do that." That's fair. And if that is where you're at, we have a place called the Connection Center. And it's a place that you can go and say, "Look, I want the grace of God. I don't know how to get it. I don't know how to get my hands on it. I don't know how to receive it. I've heard that it's a free gift. I heard it costs me nothing. I heard that all I have to do is receive Jesus. How do I do that?" That's a serious thing. It's so serious for us at Sagemont that we have a place called the Connection Center. If you go out and just ask any one of our ushers where the Connection Center is, they'll walk you there. We want you to experience the grace and mercy of Jesus. The last thing that we see in Peter's life that we need to take from and go give as advice to the world is to embrace the Lord's plan. Now, I'm telling you that this next verse that we're going to look at will scare you half to death. Look at verse 11. It says, so they pulled their boat up on the shore and they left everything and they followed Jesus. And I understand that that could be terrifying for you. That could be scary for you. What do you mean follow? What do you mean leave everything? And that's unknown. That's radical type stuff. That's scary. This is my promise to you. If you could pull Simon Peter out of heaven right now, put him right here, he'd tell you he'd do it again in a heartbeat. Now, I know that I don't have the verbal power to convince you to do this. This is the work of the Spirit of God. And I could hold you here till 2. Well, I actually couldn't hold you here until 2. But I could preach here until 2, trying to convince you to give up everything and just follow him. I can't. That's the work of God. Maybe God is working in your life today, telling you that it is time for you to go all in, that you are for Christ. And if that's what you want to do today, I want to encourage you to go to the Connection Center at the end of this service and tell the people in there that today you are ready to embrace the plan of God. Now I want to share with you, before we close, the skills for application. First is this: my skill at receiving advice should be as good as giving it. Isn't it true that some of us are really good at giving advice and some of us aren't very good at taking it? So if you want to go into the world and you want to bless the world and you want the blessings of God and the wisdom of God to flow through you, let me just tell you that first, you need to get real good at listening to biblical advice. You need to get real good at listening to godly counsel. So a key to going out into the world and giving good advice, biblical advice, instead of bad advice with good intention, is that you're a person who can receive good advice. The second is that your concern for growth must be greater than your concern for comfort. Because there will be some moments in your life where it's uncomfortable to challenge somebody to grow. Let me give you a for instance. When Zach Nicholson gets up to this platform and starts talking about bad advice in terms of don't let anybody tell you who to be, follow your heart, or do what seems right to you, I know that that's going to challenge a lot of people in this room. Because some of you probably gave that advice in the last week. And I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want you to be frustrated with me. But I am so committed to you growing in the Lord. And that commitment is larger than my commitment for comfort. Listen, if you're going to go into the world and give godly advice to the world, you're going to have to be committed to growth more than comfort. The third thing is this: my advice should match my lifestyle. If you're going to tell somebody to trust the instructions of the Lord, they ought to be able to look into your life and find that advice being applied. If you're going to tell someone to embrace the Lord's plan, they should be able to see that in your life. How awesome would it be if we decided that we're going to go into the world tomorrow and we are going to be used by God, and where people seek advice, where people seek godly counsel, they're going to find it in the people of God. Imagine how the scripture could spread if we decide today that no matter what happens, I'm only going to receive and I'm only going to give godly counsel. Would you make that commitment today? Would you stand with me? We're going to pray together. We're going to pray, then I'm going to read the closing blessing over you and we're going to be dismissed. But as you stand, would you just consider for one moment what it is that is the next step for you in your spiritual journey? What is it that God is calling you to this morning? Is it to experience His grace?